2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. We're now getting to the text. Listen very carefully for the next couple of verses. Verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus into Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. I want to, kind of like this morning, I guess, the older I get, the shorter my messages seem like they are, but I always try to put together good stuff, stuff that'll help us. I may not be long tonight. I'm not real sure. But I want to speak for a while tonight on a lost art. A lost art. I'm not talking about something you paint. A lost art. And I can sum it up in one word. Are you ready for that word? It's loyalty. Loyalty. That is just about a lost art. A lost character trait among people today. Loyalty. Unfaithfulness. I could go on and on with titles. The sin that burdens others. Lack of loyalty. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for a very pleasant, lovable, loving day today. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to assemble, most of us, for the second time in this place today. I pray to you, Lord, you'd give us some liberty, and Lord, help us to be kind and gracious as we share the thoughts that you give us today. I pray that they come across well. Help us, Lord, to just learn to love you more, to love one another more, and to serve you better and greater than we've ever done before. We love you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And all of God's young'uns said, amen. Okay, I feel good. Just got a little nagging cough, but it's getting better by the day. So just bear with me. Notice that scripture. Demas hath forsaken me. Now, he mentions John Mark. You go back to the book of Acts, you'll read that there was a time in John Mark's life that he was disloyal. In fact, he just quit the mission team and went back home to mama. He didn't even go back to his sending church at Antioch, I guess because he was too ashamed, too embarrassed. He went, took tail and went back to Jerusalem. But, listen to this, somewhere along the way, John Mark got his act together. And it's of worthy note to take note that on Paul's deathbed, he paid tribute to John Mark because he realized that John Mark had got his act together, that he had been transformed to a disloyal missionary to a very loyal preacher of the gospel. And let me hasten to say this. I'm glad that Paul made that confession before he died. Now, this has really nothing to do with the message on loyalty, but I'll say this. If there's any faults, any errors or weaknesses, or unforgiveness in any of our hearts and lives, we ought to correct it before we die. I pay tribute to Paul because he did that. Here's a man, he refused to take him on the second missionary trip. But before he died, he paid tribute to him, and it's even recorded in the Word of God. It'll be there throughout all the ages. Here's a man that was converted from disloyalty to being a very loyal person. And Paul recognized that. So I'm going to talk a little bit this evening about this thing of loyalty, or maybe the lack of it. You know, won't you pray for my son, Paul? He's probably about halfway home to Arkansas. He'll finish up tomorrow. Pray for them and have a good, safe trip. But I was talking to him just a few days ago. I don't get to see that lad very often. I know he's 48 years old, but he's still my lad. Amen. He's still my little boy. But he needs a break. He needs to rest. He works for Walmart, still 3 or 4 days a week. Pastor in the church is growing and needs our prayer. We was talking the other day, though, and he said, we have to hire people every day because people walk out and quit every day. You know, that's a lack of disloyalty. We just live in an age where people are no longer loyal to their employers. That's a missing art in our day. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, we find these words. Servants. Now, in the first century, slavery was still in full force. In your good King James Bible, we have the word servants, okay, and masters. Now today, we don't call servants and masters because we've gotten rid of slavery. Rightly so, by the way. But we think of it as employees and employers, okay? But we live in a time and an age today where that has changed tremendously from what Paul's talking about here. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service, not as men pleasers. In other words, but as the servants of Christ. Let me get my pen out of the way here. Doing the will of God from the heart. Notice he says, not with eye service. In other words, he says, don't just work when the boss is looking. He's saying, work when the boss is not looking. Be loyal to your employer. I've come to this conclusion. Loyalty from both sides. And you've got disloyalty in areas from both sides. Business, capital, and labor. I understand that. But if labor and the capitalist would get together and would both be loyal to one another, you'd never need a union. Wouldn't even think about it. You know, I love the little book of Ruth. And I usually spend sometimes, in fact, the sermon I preached this morning probably spent 20 hours or more putting it together. Now, I put this one together an hour and a half. So if I bomb out, well, y'all just blame me, okay? All right? But I was putting these notes together this afternoon. Somebody asked me, did you get a nap this afternoon? I don't really think I did. I laid down, but I never did go to sleep. But anyway, in the book of Ruth, chapter 2, if you've ever read that little book, it's a lovely book of just four little short chapters. But we have a fellow by the name of Boaz, and he's a farmer. And we have some other folks mentioned here, and Ruth and Naomi and some others even. But verse 4 in chapter 2 says, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. He was a pretty wealthy farmer. And he came out to where the reapers were at. Notice this. Boaz came from Bethlehem and he said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. He speaks to his employees. He said, the Lord be with you. You know what he's really saying? I hope that y'all gather a lot of grain today because you probably need to. But then they in turn said, the Lord bless thee. Now, that's loyalty and unity between employee and employer. He came out and said, the Lord bless you. Hope you have a great day gathering grain. They turned around and said, well, thank you so much, employer. Said, we hope you get a good price for your grain too. Now I'm telling you, if it worked in the book of Ruth, it'd still work in the 21st century, wouldn't it? Some folks call in sick and then go fishing. Hello. Walked in a place the other day and said two folks called in sick and one quit. Seth says they have to hire every day at the distribution center. Just replace those that quit and walk out. $19 an hour. One paycheck and they quit. Sometimes they quit before they get it. Just walk out. Middle of the day and so forth. I'm telling you, we're in a mess, ain't we? You know what it all boils down to? A lack of loyalty. Now, you don't have to listen to me preach very long. You know I'm pro-business, and I've never owned a business. I am pro-business from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I am for the businessman because he provides me jobs. He takes a risk. He invests everything he has with the potential of losing everything he has. If I'm working for him and he loses everything he's got, I go out and get another job. But you know what? I like to get paid. How many of y'all like to get paid? And if I'm working for a fella and I don't make him money, he can't pay me. So I want to be sure that I make him some money so I can get paid come payday. But I'm here to tell you, we live in an age of greed. Give me all I can get for the less amount of time I have to spend to get it. A lack of loyalty to employers. Well, that didn't go over too good. Let me try another one here. Let's get on another one. We're in an age where there's a lack of loyalty in family life. Lack of loyalty, family life. If this character trait of loyalty would be reestablished, the divorce rate would eliminate. It'd fade away. If we just get back to being loyal to one another, divorce would fade away. If we get back to families being loyal from top to bottom, child support money would go to buying groceries and putting them in the pantry at the house. Right. Jails would not be crowded with those not paying child support. Right. Now, there's a lot of things I don't have an answer for. Y'all done figured that out. But there's a lot of things you don't have an answer to. But I've come to this conclusion. Locking a fella up for not paying child support is not the answer to it. How's he going to pay it if you got him locked up? You say, yeah, they put him out there cleaning up the highways and stuff. Yeah, but they don't pay him for it. Still no money going to that wife and them kids that deserves it. Say, what are you going to do? Take him out of jail and get him a job somewhere and put a guard out there and watch him, make sure he shows up every morning and works all day. When he gets his paycheck, give it to that woman and them kids. Hello? That's free advice. Take it or leave it. If we get back to being loyal to our families, husbands being loyal to their wife being loyal to her husband, father being loyal to the children being loyal to their father, mothers being loyal to their children being loyal to their mother, the divorce courts would just about go out of business, wouldn't they? The judge would go on vacation for a long time because he wouldn't have to grant so many of them. Well, let's try another one here. Loyalty to your church. Loyalty to your church. The last time I read the book of Hebrews, it still says this: not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Sound like the writer of Hebrews had the same problem we're facing today. I mean, even before the end of the first century. Even before the end of the first century. Folks are still quitting laying out of church. That's what he said, isn't it? He said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And he said, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Seth shared this with me this afternoon. I think I got it pretty close to word for word. About this preacher that doesn't identify himself, but he's always putting these tweets on. Is that what you call it? I have to ask for information. To me, that's a bird. Tweet, tweet. But anyway, you know. These tweets. A preacher posted this one. Said, on the way to church, I saw a man pulling a boat behind his truck. He must think it would rain a lot while he was in church. I would say there's quite a bit of sarcasm behind that one, but I think he made a pretty good point, don't you? That dude wasn't going to church. He was heading to the lake fishing, amen? That's a pretty good one. Here's just a little thought. I won't stay on this thing very long. I'm gonna move along. Think about this. You've heard this before, but I'm going to put a little postscript behind it. You've heard this one before. You probably saw it in church bulletins. If all our members were just like you, what kind of church would this church be? Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, okay? But if all of our members just like you, what kind of church would this church be? Well, for some of our church folks, we wouldn't have church on Sunday night. Because they'll never come back. Hello? If all of our members, like some of our church members, we wouldn't have church on Wednesday night. Because they'll never come back. If all our members, like some of our church folks, we don't have church about once a month. Everybody okay? Because that's about how often they come. Now, like or dislike this old boy, I tell it like it is, don't I? I've been around a long time, and I'm a pretty good observer. Think about that. I told Bill about 3 months ago. Now, remember I said this morning, I don't come in and say, Bill, where are you going to sing today? But about 3 months ago, I did tell him, I don't want that song sang in our church until I tell you later. Loyalty to Christ. It's a joke. I don't want to sing here. Because 90% of Christians are not 100% loyal in any capacity. So why should we all stand saying, loyalty to Christ? We're going to march on and we're going to win. When so many folks don't even come back on Sunday night. Don't come back on Wednesday night. Never witness to anybody. Never pray. Never read their Bible. Everybody okay? It's age of disloyalty. Lack of faithfulness. The sin that burdens other people. Dependability is a lost art. If we don't ever be anything else, we ought to be loyal and dependable. It goes back to the employer-employee situation. A man's not going to hire you and give you his money if he doesn't need you. Why would he? That wouldn't be very smart, would it? Why would he take out of his pocket or out of his cash register and give you money if he didn't need you? I had a fellow one time, this was a preacher. He came up to me, looked me straight in the eye. He said, I want you to help make me rich. I said, what are you talking about? Well, I found out later that he was hooked up in that pyramiding stuff, you know. Recruiting others, you know. And I'm not very smart, but I want to tell you something. In that pyramiding business, somebody's got to buy the product. And not everybody's going to strike it rich, amen? And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I believe I'll just pass on that. Short time after that, he was caught in a homosexual act. A year or two later, he died. All he was concerned about was making money. He wasn't loyal at all. That brings me to the last thing I want to talk about tonight. That song, Loyalty, Loyalty to Christ. If America would ever become loyal, I'd probably lead the song. Oh, I know you wouldn't want me to, but I probably would anyway. But until America becomes loyal to Christ and reinvents this thing of loyalty and faithfulness and dependability, I'm not going to sing it. I'm not going to sing it. They said, preacher, are you loyal? Not all the time. And neither are you. Somewhere along the way, we're going to fizzle out. Somewhere along the way, we fade a little bit. But we need to reinvent this thing of being loyal and faithful and dependable. Loyalty to Christ. William Carey. How many of you have heard that name, William Carey? William Carey was a man that was not even ordained as a minister. Never ordained as a preacher. He was a shoe cobbler. Now get this. William Carey, an old shoe cobbler, Brother Bill, he applied to go to India as a foreign missionary. And he was asked this question, kind of sarcastically. And he went before the board to ask him, said, "What's your business?" They knew what his business was. He was making shoes. But I liked his answer. He said, "My business is serving the Lord, and I make shoes to pay my expenses." That's a good answer. And you know the rest of that story. They sent him to India, and he did a great work in the country of India. He also said this one time. This is a Carey quote. He said, "Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God." I like that. I like that. Now I'm going to close with a somber thought. Okay? I'll be finished in less than 2 minutes. Here's a final thought. What have I talked about tonight? I talked about loyalty, the lack of it. Faithfulness, the lack of it. Dependability, the lack of it. I close with these thoughts. If a person is not faithful and loyal to his employer and his family and his church, he'll not be loyal to Christ. And folks who are not loyal to any of those areas might as well take a little inventory. There might be some hidden sins that keeps that person from being loyal. That's pretty tough, isn't it? There's a reason why people are not loyal to employers and to families and to churches and to Christ. I won't, but I could give you example after example of people who've fallen out of the Lord's work because they were caught and was determined that they were practicing hidden sins in their lives. That's a sad note to end on. But there's a reason why folks are not loyal to any capacity in life. It's a lost art.